This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Matthias, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Heather Robertson, veteran journalist and editor of Daily Maverick 168 on the Doc and Guru podcast. In the aftermath of the global pandemic, it might well be argued that the resultant infodemic and the erosion of trust globally has done more harm than the COVID virus itself. So stay listening to the Doc and Guru podcast as we continue to explore the impact of trust in enhancing advertising response.
My second point is something I noticed when I wrote the report for Nielsen on their digital consumer in 2019. There was a narrative which was being created which suggested that young people don't read anymore. And the more I analyzed it, the more I realized, yes, there were fewer young people reading newspapers, but those people that did read, read and spent more time reading than older people. So it certainly begins to look like me that there's a defeatist attitude. You don't write for young people, therefore young people don't read, therefore you conclude young people don't read, and you write less for them. Isn't it time? Back to joy of writing, and here's the hip-hop artist, the poet. Who's writing for young people, and how do you get young people back into reading, whether it's print or online?
I mean, just like what I did when we were at South, is actually there are voices out there. There are people who are as hungry to write and express themselves, you know, as they are to jump into ad agencies, as I was when I.
That's okay. That's the doc calling in from Cape Town, one of the Manchester United supporters kind of calling in to complain. Sorry about that, guys.
One is to actually engage with young people.
Yeah.
Get more young voices into newspapers. We've got a really nice young team. You know, Daily Maverick has some really good, strong veteran voices like Murray and Tam.
Yeah.
Very strong investigative journalists that's like Peter Louis Myberg. And but we've also got a strong group of young journalists who I love working with because they're actually very excited. They haven't written for newspapers. They're digital born generation. Yeah. They're loving working for the newspaper.
Yeah.
And I am loving giving them the space to. So I'll go out to coffee with them and say like there's one young journalist who's sad these days. I mean, the one thing about the young people is they're just like me. I mean, I hopped everywhere. I mean, they hop. You work with them, and they develop. Like, I've started a kids section. and you'll notice.
Yes, no. I've got nine grandchildren, so trust me.
So there's four young journalists who are the editors of that kids section. Yep. They love it.
No, it's great.
They
absolutely
love it.
Yep.
Because so I'm not going to edit you. This is what you do. This is how you do. This is who your audience is. You can't, forget, what you learned at university or college. You're going to talk to kids like kids would like to be spoken to. And they love, because obviously our young team have to learn the ropes, so they have to guard and report the horror. But they love this because it's a break from the horror.
Yeah.
And also, very curious young minds are like, okay. And I let them choose whatever the themes are. We have a brainstorm, and they go, I'm really interested in cheaters. Cool. Let's go and do research. Teachers meet a cheater organization. Yeah. And that's like, because if you're interested, you're going to get the kids interested in it. So that's my... And that's how I do it. And wherever I've worked, I've always believe in hiring young people. Yeah. And I learned by being thrown in the deep end. Muhsin Williams was my first news editor at South Newspaper. And I was 22 years old, and he trusted me to edit a section. He threw me in the deep end.
Yeah.
There were a lot of older sub-editors who go, what the hell does she know? Which is, they were right. What the hell did I know? But that's how I learned. And often there's a very hierarchical in all organizations, but in media organizations, it's like, you've got to have earned your stripes to actually get the title. Mm. You can't call someone. It's kind of like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like, you've got to, if you develop the passion and the love, and you teach them the tools as they go along. And that's why I love design, the concept of design thinking. It's like fail fast.
Yeah.
A lot of get in and do it, fail fast, and then segue and fix it and move on. But that's how, for me, that's how the learning process. So, and that should be our attitude to all young people,
absolutely.
All the jobs. And we kind of barrier, we stop them from entering because they're not as good as, and hey, they're going to do this. Mm. But I'm very excited by the young journalists that I'm working with now, at the Daily Maverick.
The challenge from your perspective, in giving that freedom to young people is the burden of failure is much more visible, in media, on the agency side, planning. If we make a bit of a mess up, we can correct it. It's not a visible thing. So, we were chatting before we got going about the emergence of trust in media as a key issue over the last couple of years. The Edelman Trust Barometer in 2021 talked about media not doing well at being objective or nonpartisan. 61% of people around the world felt that media were not doing particularly well. And that's kind of decreased the level of trust into the 22 report, where only 53% of global consumers trust traditional media to do the right thing, not newspapers specifically, but any traditional media. Now, the good news from that point of view is there's an 18% percentage point positive gap between traditional media and social media. Only 35% of people around the world trust social media to do the right thing. So how do you encourage young people to express themselves, to write for the joy of it, but make sure that the news is curated, it's balanced, it's accurate? The Edelman Trust Barometer is fascinating for me. 59% of people around the world say that distrust is the default position. I do not trust anything until proven otherwise. Now, that's quite terrifying for me. Mm. Almost two out of every three people look, listen, read, watch on TV with an attitude of distrust as their starting point. How do we reassure them?
One word, the press code.
Yeah.
And... It should be the Bible of every journalist, young and old. Sometimes because the younger journalists are mentored and news edited, they imbibe it much more and are following the code. The press code covers every single thing that you need to do to ensure that there's trust. Get both sides of the story. Don't actually interview a child unless the parent is there. You've got permission of the parent. The parent is there. Plagiarism. It covers everything. Mm. So we've got an independent press counsel in South Africa. I'm an adjudicator on the press counsel.
No, that's important, and I think it's that people need to know that and need to know more about that.
It's very important, because if you have a complaint, and that's the thing, I would say trust every form of media that's a member of the press council.
Yeah.
And the reason you should do that, because if you think that someone, any one of us, any publication has got it wrong or has offended or has broken the code, you have every right to go through the process. You will phone the public advocate. The public advocate will hear you out. Then a panel, I would be one of the adjudicators would be called, or there's many of us, and it's geared more towards non-media people. So there's lawyers, there's members of the public who are part of the council. So you're going to get a very fair hearing. I mean, we're not a lot. Okay, so as you know, like I've worked most media organizations, so I know quite a lot of people, but we don't act as big brother and as one tribe. We act according to the code. When someone is found to have erred, or then we actually apologize.
Yeah.
And that's how you can trust us, because no one can always get everything right all the time.
Yep.
I mean, that's what we've got to accept, that we are human, and to err is to be human. But to acknowledge that you've erred and to apologize to that is, I think, how you gain trust, one, in basic human relationships, marriages, parents, your fundamental, but between the media and the public. And the public needs to make use of this mechanism much more, which is the Press Council, and then the Broadcast Complaints Council. They're all digital media who are members of the council, belong to the Press Council. That's why through the IAB, obviously. In fact, I was appointed as an IAB rep.
No, I think that's very important. And, from a marketing perspective, just to bring it back to commercial media for a moment before we wrap up. And in wrapping up, I'm going to invite you just to reflect and give some advice for young people who want to get into journalism as a career, that working through the Nielsen database on trust in advertising, there's global trust in newspapers is about 25%. Or trust in advertising and newspapers. So one in four readers will totally trust advertising and newspapers.
I want you to compare that to digital, just so that our listeners are there.
In South Africa, we run about that benchmark, which is the same as China and Colombia. Other countries in Africa, much higher level of trust in newspapers and advertising in newspapers, 45% in Botswana and Zambia. But what intrigues me is the erosion of trust in advertising in newspapers in some of the developed markets, New Zealand, the UK, 11-12%. And if you overlay that trust in advertising on the probability of response, people who trust advertising in newspapers are surprisingly, and the Reader's Digest discovered this for us in 1980, are twice as likely to respond. So I think it's not just a nice to have; it's a pillar of advertising response.
But pillar of journalism.
And a pillar of journalism. Yeah. And the bottom line is, the level of trust in advertising in newspapers is twice the level of trust in online media generally. The qualifier being, of course, if the online platform is a trusted derivative, as is the case with DM168, to my mind, they are one and the same thing.
Absolutely.
So there's the value of that. I think it's crucial that we recognize from a strategic media perspective that the critical ingredient that we need to inject into any schedule, whether it's newspapers, whether it's radio, whether it's television, is trust, because that's the key differentiator. But we're running out of time, and I'm very aware of I'm rambling on as well. just a wrap up thought for young people. I mean, what's the challenge in those early days of the 80s? The challenge was discernible. You felt you were contributing. How do you contribute now? And how do you build on something? I'm hoping to have Ashraf Garde in you. How do you build with a critical perspective, but with a view to being a champion nation, and teeing up Ashra on that kind of champion essay type thing? How do you encourage young people to be critical, to be skillful, to write for the joy of writing, and at the same time help us build a champion nation?
Well, you've got to actually have the desire to do it in the first place. And often the young people who come to journalism do have the desire to I mean, as I said, like, I mean, as my generation did, we came into journalism because we wanted to change this apartheid system, and still today we want to actually, you know, be part of building a country that works, and not just a democracy, but all spheres of a, you know, of a country. That we need more skilled people. We need to transform. We need to transform, you know, from this massive income inequality, but also poverty and wealth inequality. So we need young people to come with their experiences, their knowledge, their passion into the space, because it's only if you come with passion for something that you are going to be able to contribute or make a change. So I think so. As I said, I worked after I left. I ran my own little consulting. I worked with the Manda.mobi, and I was like, I was amazed by the passion of those young people. And that starts. I mean, that's a social change for them. I mean, absolutely geared at low income black women, and you know, Koketso Mweti's passion was like, why do you say that you want to be the voice of the voiceless? Do you think that low income women have no voice? They speak all the time. They're just not being heard. So her thing is like, let's amplify their voices. Let's hear their voices. Let's care. So if you have something that you're deeply passionate about, let's start at that point. Then you've got to come and you've got to actually be passionate about learning the skills and the tools that is going to enable you to express that passion and achieve. And so a little bit of, I would say, a lot of humility is needed to be able to allow yourself to be mentored and to learn from other people.
Yep.
So it's not just, you're not going to, and also some, not to actually just want to, you know, it's not a hierarchy anymore. Media, I don't know about the advertising, but media is not a hierarchy. It's not like I'm getting in here so that I can be the editor. I never actually got into journalism to be an editor. Never. That was never my aim. I got into journalism because I loved writing. As I said, I did poetry from the time I was like 12, and loved writing at school. And you know, I love playing with words. And it's my thing. It's my therapy. Yeah. So that's how I found myself in this word factory business.
Yeah.
so if you love something, surely you'd want to get better and better and better at it. And to be with people who are better, and learn from people better, because that's how I've learned. And that's what I'd say to young people. Find someone that you can learn from, not even one person, the group of people, and be open to hearing what they say and challenge them, because older people actually also can be kicked off their pedestals where they think things only work like this, because you only get new creativity and new forms by challenging the old as well.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to challenge, but also be humble enough to learn and realize actually there's quite a lot of road travel that you can learn from.
And I think, I mean, you know, that's the wisdom that one sees or hears from so many people. Find your passion. Chase your passion, the money will come. If you start off chasing the money, you will end up
miserable,
passionless, which is the worst place to be. So, you know, Heather, thank you so much for the time. We didn't even get around to talking about some of the things I wanted to talk about. I know you've got a new app. You're developing a new app for DM168. Quick top line answer. How is that going? Is you getting a response?
We're going
on that?
It hasn't launched yet. Hasn't launched. The launch has been
delayed.
So this
is the stuff I'm seeing as being seeded and thrown forward.
Yes. It's thrown forward. I can quickly talk about it.
Yeah, quickly talk about it because it's interesting. I think
because
it's a very
basically
interesting take
it's
on it.
Gonna it's the newspaper is going to be published online. It's an e-edition app through PageSuite, but it's going to be launched when we launch our subscriptions, which is in mid September.
Yep.
We're doing a massive drive through our insiders. You know, Maverick has the Maverick online is for free, but we have these amazing group of people between 17,000 and 18,000 of them who contribute over R200 a month.
There's another Manchester United supporter, unless that's Antonio Conte, who's trying to get hold of us and explain why you have to look at somebody's eyes. Was that Thomas Tuchel who insists that you look in my eyes when you shake my hands? In fact, I'm going to insist on the doc. When you hear this podcast, I'm going to insist that you look into my eyes next time you and I have any exchange on the podcast if we shake hands. So that's either Thomas Tuchel or Antonio Conte that called in that last time. It wasn't Man United.
Yeah. So we're going to launch it in mid-September.
Yep.
And it will be, basically we realize that, I mean, look, a newspaper is a premium product.
Yes.
It's for those who want to actually get out of bed on a Saturday morning, yep, and go and buy their newspaper.
That's me.
Or would like to have it delivered to them and lay back and, I mean, like one of the readers had a fantastic letter from a reader with the newspaper just reached South Coast of Durban. And she said, "Dear Heather, thank you so much for reaching us eventually. I love your newspaper. I love the serious stuff in the beginning, and then I put it down, and then it lasts the whole week because I dip into different areas." Mm. And that's exactly what my aim was for this newspaper. She said, "It feels like a magazine and a newspaper," and that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I've kind of married my different working experiences into this culmination of something.
Well done in delivering a paper down to the south of Durban to the Ugu municipality. You've managed to deliver the newspaper, and they can't deliver the water, which is perhaps a good place to push us back into the depths and of our current society. But Heather, thank you so much. That was absolutely fascinating, and I really enjoyed it. And just, I think what's resonated with me again, as you reflect on a very rich journey, and this is my appeal to young people who think working from home is the defining characteristic of life. It's your recollection of the people that you worked with that has triggered for me, not the quantum of the circulation or but the people.
Yeah.
So all you young folks out there, seriously. If I were to give you an advice, I'd say, start investing in the people around you. To the ad industry out there, I had the occasion to go out on Saturday to watch the rugby with Evolve Outdoor, who took a bunch of young folks there. So incredibly invigorating for me to meet 10 young South Africans who are the next decision makers in the industry. So thoroughly enjoy that. And I just appeal to everybody, get out there and start meeting your colleagues. Let's start rebuilding the industry, from the people.
Absolutely.
From the people upwards, not from the boardroom downwards. So Heather, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. And to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us. And to the doc, we missed you. Look forward to looking to you eye to eye next week when we get together again on the Doc and Guru podcast.
And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mataz. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.